This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
During the commercial break, I walked out to the basketball floor. I walked back to see the big German. I walked outside. Todd following me the whole time.
Like a little puppy. I don't know why.
And I go, what? And he goes, have you ever been to the sports arena?
LA Sports Arena, where the Clippers used to play.
I said, yes.
The Big Dump.
It was not. That's what it was known as. The Big
Joint.
Dump.
They called it the Clip Joint, but it was the Dump.
Welcome to the Big Dump.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. They used to promote the other team. All the newspaper articles and everything was come to the Clip Joint to see this guy from this team, this guy from the other team, this star from the other team.
Yeah. Is there a bad stadium that still exists? A bad arena where you go, I don't want to go there. Trying to think if anything really comes to mind. And while I, you know, I'm critical of the Boston Garden, the way it looked, but it was still a majestic building. It was still a piece of history that you're walking into. You're walking into a time warp. But if you went there for the amenities, you were greatly disappointed. Yes, Seton.
I think that there are a ton of average sports venues where they're like kind of generic plug and play, could be any city in America. There, it takes something to be either truly great or truly terrible, has to be pretty special.
Because if your team is good, the building still has some kind of meaning to you that you'll put up with. These seats are really uncomfortable. Like Fenway, you would go in and you could have an obstructed view seat. And the seats were really small because people back in 1912 were a little bit smaller than us.
Fenway is awesome, though. What a place.
Everybody.
It's great.
Everybody should see a game in there.
Definitely.
Yes. It's worth it. Because you walk in and you see that left field and you go, damn, that monster is really close. It strikes you as a wiffle ball place where you go, man, this would be great to play wiffle ball off that wall.
Yeah,
Paul.
When I moved to New York in the late 90s, all I heard was Shea Stadium's awful. Don't go to a Mets game. It's awful. It's a bad experience. Hard to get to. Bad food, everything. There's planes flying over. I think I had been told so many times it was awful. I got there, I'm like, this is all right. It seemed okay to me. It didn't seem bad. I guess it didn't have the amenities, but as long as you got beer, hot dogs, and a view.
I thought it was terrible.
It's a dump.
I'm not sure why.
There was no atmosphere there. And there are planes going by. It wasn't, there was no magic there. There was no, like, wow.
Except for the Apple.
Yeah, the Apple when somebody hits a home run. Like, yeah, the Big Apple, okay. Yankee Stadium, you walked in and you go, all right. I mean, it wasn't pristine, but it was still Yankee Stadium.
Babe Ruth played there.
Yes. Yeah. Even walking down into the dugout, and you're going, you know, Babe used to be in here. And, you know, so Babe and probably some Babes used to be in there, knowing Babe. Yes.
It was one of the first things my father-in-law said to me as soon as the new Yankee Stadium opened.
Mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth never played there. I was like, oh, damn, I wonder if the Yankees realize what they just gave up. Nah, it doesn't look that great to me. Babe Ruth never played there.
All right, we're waiting word from the Big Ten and then how Michigan responds. Is Jim Harbaugh going to be on the sidelines this weekend? Does any of this punishment matter, or the rumors of it? or the possibility. I think it's all, if it happens, it happens in the offseason. But let's bring in Rick Neuheiser, our good buddy, CBS Sports college football analyst, former college coach at UW, also Colorado and UCLA. All right, Rick, what do you think should happen to Jim Harbaugh and Michigan?
I just put this under the category of overzealous, the Wizard of Oz, right? This is, you got a guy by the name of Connor Stallions, who's just super fan, wants to impress the head coach, and finds ways to get all kinds of intelligence. The head coach goes, wait a minute, you really can get that stuff? And proves to be very accurate information, and you end up hiring him. And the guy went way over his skis and obviously didn't do a very good job of hiding his trail as we're uncovering more and more of this. Yeah, this is just overzealousness 101.
What will happen, do you think?
Well, you've got a bunch of angry coaches. You got a bunch of angry mob right now knocking at the door. And, you know, Tony Petitti's in a bind because he's got to prove to these guys that he's going to try to find some measure of justice. And Michigan's going to just lawyer up. This is going to get pushed to the after the season because of all the legal machinations. And I would guess that Jim Harbaugh will be looking for a work in the NFL.
And you talked about that a couple of weeks. That's what you thought would maybe be the end result here. But also, you were coaching, what, three different programs? And did you ever have anybody who would have gone rogue on you and gathered information that you didn't know about to maybe help your assistant coaches?
Not that I'm aware of. Now, listen, we all, I know there's some pushback now by Michigan that coaches are, you know, conspiring and getting information against Michigan. You'd always get on the phone and ask somebody who's a friend in the business if they just played somebody, give me, you know, your tells, right? If you're going into a poker game, you want to know what people's tells are. That happens all the time. But to go to the level that Connor Stallions has apparently gone to, I've never been aware of anything like that.
Did you ever get signals? Did you ever get information like that from another coach sharing information like Rutgers, Purdue, and Ohio State are accused of doing?
The signals that you would always try to get from opponents is personnel groups. Defensive coordinators are hell-bent to find out what personnel is going into the game, especially with this advent of up-tempo stuff. So if you're changing personnel and you're going from 11 personnel, which means one back and one tight end in the game, and you're going to now 10 personnel, taking the tight end out and adding a wide receiver, the coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the play caller wants to know that information so that he can give a call that's more in touch with all the data that you have when they're in 10. So you're always looking to see what signals are going in to communicate that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the role, like did Ohio State, Rutgers, and Purdue, what they're accused of, is that illegal?
No, what I think they're getting are the signal are personnel groupings. I think they're just getting personnel grouping signals. I don't think they have the wherewithal to figure out what the play call is. I really don't. What Connor Stallions was doing was taking it to the nth degree and knowing everything there was to know about the stuff, and at least allegedly. And coordinators, it's all the video shows him standing next to the coordinators are waiting for him to say run, pass, and what kind of run and pass. And that's a huge advantage.
I'm just trying to understand this, though, Rick. If I had somebody on my staff who was going to other games, getting information, who's he giving the information to? And how does Jim Harbaugh not know that somebody on his staff is going to scout in advance, maybe be in disguise, and giving that information to one of his assistant coaches?
I think that Jim did know. I think it's implausible for him not to know that this guy has some real information and some important data that can be really useful to the coordinators in their play calls. And, you know, the fact that he was out there doing all that, I don't think Jim wanted to know how he was doing it, but he was certainly, it was useful information, which is why the guy went from super fan to an employee.
Talking to Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports college football analyst, former college head coach at Washington, UCLA, and Colorado. What is the policy etiquette of ratting out a program? Like, if you got information, you know, would you share that with somebody, a reporter or the NCAA, if you knew that they were up to something nefarious?
I think what we all would like to say we would do is go straight to the source, which is mean if you had a suspicion that Jim Harbaugh was doing something, you'd go straight to Jim Harbaugh. I know he did that to me. He thought I was involved with a recruit at a time where I couldn't be on in phone conversation with him, or I couldn't call the recruit. And he called me out and accused me of it. I said, Jim, absolutely not. The kid called me. It was a kid out of Stockton by the name of Philip Rule, a kind of walk-on fullback that, you know, walk-ons couldn't get into Stanford. So this was a unique guy for him.
Wait, so Harbaugh calls you and says...
Oh, yeah, he called me every name in the book saying I was cheating. And I said, you're absolutely out of your mind. I am not. I've got all the phone records. You can see that Phil Rule called me wanting to come to UCLA. But we had it out on the phone. There was nothing going back. Give and take. What's amazing, Dan, this guy went to the lengths of bringing all this data. We were back in the Pac-10 at the time and wanted Pete Carroll to stop having the use of all the Pac-12 officials at his practice. He said he only had a budget for, you know, three or four practices a year where the Pac-12 officials, Pac-10 officials at the time, would come to his practice. And Pete was having them every day. He could afford to have them every day. And he was going to get this, you know, great favoritism from the officials because he was going to create these relationships. And then Pete raised his hand and said, I was the most penalized team in the league. And everybody started laughing. Everybody started laughing. And Jim got so angry, he said, it's the principle of the thing. And it was just like one of these things.
But that's what I'm wondering. His dad was a legendary coach, by the book coach. Like, that's the thing I keep coming back to with Harbaugh. Would he have done this and maybe embarrassed his dad in the process?
I guess the ends justify the means, but this is wildly embarrassing. Wildly embarrassing because this is a team that frankly doesn't need it. This team is really good, what he's got. As a matter of fact, he couldn't stop but tell me in Indianapolis at the Big Ten Media Days that this is good. This team's going to break the record of Georgia's most draft choices going to the NFL. He thinks it's going to be somewhere in the 18 to 20 number.
Would you rather know what Harbaugh knew or who's the one that started the investigation?
This is the Johnny Cochran. I mean, he's just if the glove doesn't fit, right? You've got a jury looking at something that doesn't have anything to do with this. The bottom line is Connor Stallions was too obvious.
But somebody had it out for Harbaugh.
Oh yeah. That line's a long line.
Just to put you on record, you had nothing to do with this?
I had nothing to do with it.
I just want to make sure. Yeah, no, you had no knowledge of it. But somebody...
Absolutely not.
Somebody gift-wrapped this to the NCAA.
Oh, without question. Without question.
Why?
And obviously, they got wind of it. Somehow, some way, there was a tip that somebody was doing this.
Yeah, but teams don't turn in other teams, though, because everybody's cheating, Rick, aren't they?
No, not everybody at this level. And I'll draw a line there. Everybody's trying to get information, trying to get tells. And if you got a buddy that knows something, you're going to ask what you know. But no one's going to the lengths that Connor Stallion went. And now finding out that Connor Stallions went from, you know, the Wizard of Oz overzealous to an employee. Now you're substantiating his work, and there's where you've got an issue.
Great,
but it writes his own song. I mean, this is going to be a song, Dan, and I'll come back and perform it here at some point.
What's it going to be called?
Oh, Santa, oh no, Jimmy's got you in a bind. Are you blind? Connor Stallion's trail, not hard to find. Santa, oh no, just play the game of legalese. Bump, bump, bump. Oh, yeah, it's going to write itself.
Thank you, buddy. Good to talk
to you
again.
All right, my friend.
He was ready for that. I was just asking the title of the song. But Neuheisel, who's given us many, many songs, Born in the SEC, I think might have been the first one.
Legendary.
But interesting, though, his take that Harbaugh called him when Harbaugh was at Stanford and Rick was recruiting somebody that Stanford was recruiting, and he thought that Rick did something illegal and then called him up, and Neuheisel said, I didn't call the recruit, he called me, and the fact that Jim would call him on that. That's why I keep coming back to this. that if you're Michigan, you don't have to do this. It's like the Houston Astros. Everybody says, you know, hey, they're not cheating now. You didn't have to cheat back then. You were that good. I don't, you know, Jim's dad, I keep coming back. When I met him the first time, his father, legendary college coach, and I just think, like, the integrity of that relationship and the family and coaching and what it means and the importance, would he do knowingly do something that was breaking the rules? Yeah, Paul.
You know, the investigation could show that it never got up to him. He just saw the product of what this guy was doing rogue. But the Big Ten may say that your team still benefited from illegal sign stealing, where you go in person to another stadium. They may say you knowing or not knowing is irrelevant to the benefit for the program that you got.
Okay, but also help me understand this. If he's guilty of something, suspended, then are you taking away victories? So maybe he doesn't coach two
games.
Now,
that's the NCAA, not the Big Ten.
But that's also, if you cheated, you're guilty of cheating, we're going to punish you for cheating, then I have to take away the wins that you had because cheating helped you get those wins?
The NCAA is three levels of infraction, 1, 2, and 3. One's the strongest. One is where you could lose titles, you could lose history. Like Michigan basketball was stripped of things.
Yeah.
And that's a level one infraction. A level three infraction could be as simple as like a fine or a sit down for a week, or where it doesn't rise to the level of losing scholarships or losing bowl appearances. So,
according to ESPN, there's no indication of any timetable on a decision on potential Big Ten discipline in the case of Michigan's alleged illegal sign stealing.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byard. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required.
and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
If you're with us next hour, Eli Manning will stop by. Get to more of your phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Mentioned Victor Wembanyama made his garden debut last night. And it was kind of rough sailing there for the rookie. Mike Breen was on the call for the mothership and NBA play-by-play commentator. Friday night, he'll have, we start that in-season tournament. Mike will be on the call, Doc Rivers and Doris Burke, Lisa Salters, and Mike joins us now. Mike, thanks for joining us. What were your expectations for Wembanyama last night?
Well, first of all, I am so impressed how his name just rolls off your tongue so easily. So, because it didn't work for me. For some reason, that name, I have to concentrate to say it, and you say it so beautifully. It was like when Giannis came in, it took me about a half a season before I felt comfortable saying Antetokounmpo, and then finally I got it. And last night, I'm saying almost like Wembanyama. I think I said it wrong a few times, too. So I'm very impressed, Dan.
But do you ask the player, how often would you ask a player how to pronounce his name?
Fairly frequently. Not like that one, because that one, you know, it's clear how you say it. It's just a matter of saying it correctly. But there are a number of them that you have to. For example, remember Anderson Varejão?
Yeah. Yeah,
played for the Cavaliers. Good player, very good player.
Yeah,
he changed the pronunciation of his name three different times during the course of his career. So, first year I said it one way, and then the next year I asked him, and no, it's different. I said, "Is that the way you told me last year?" He goes, no, this is really the right way. He was a lovely guy, but he changed it. So I do ask them frequently.
But he's not good enough to change the pronunciation of his name three times in his career.
No, probably not. But, you know, sometimes it gets caught up in the American way to pronounce it. And there's still some people that say Dirk Nowitzki as opposed to Dirk Nowitzki. It's also confusing. These are the hardships of my job.
But you know what? We waited until we realized Giannis was going to be really good because we would just call him the Greek freak. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, he's going to be around a while. He's really good. We got to learn how to say Antetokounmpo.
Exactly, and I think I'm going to go with Wemby the next time I do a game.
All right, so what were your expectations?
I felt like a kid on Christmas morning, and this has only happened, you know, a number of times all these years where you just can't wait to see somebody in person. As you know, watching a player, and I think in some ways basketball perhaps more than other sports, watching a player on TV and then finally seeing them live are two completely different experiences. And because of his unique build, his size, his length, I couldn't wait to see him. And, you know, I obviously have high expectations. What you see he can do at his size is you really feel this one has a chance to be one of the all-time special ones. And when you see him in person, you're blown away by the size, the skill. But he, you know, I happened to be there for the wrong game. It was probably his worst game. Credit to the Knicks for part of it. But that's what we're going to see from him. We're going to see brilliance one night, like the 38 in Phoenix, and we're going to see a 1-for-9 start at Madison Square Garden where they just completely smothered him. And I think he was a little overwhelmed by the moment, which is okay for a 19-year-old.
I mentioned this yesterday because here you have Chet Holmgren out on the perimeter with a handle. You got Victor Wembanyama. What happens first, if either, in our lifetime, that we change the dimension of the court, or do we raise the basket, or neither?
I really don't think you have to do either one. I understand the question, and I understand the sentiment, but nobody's completely mastered the game that much yet. I mean, there are some, you know, all-time great players or once-in-a-generation player. But the game is still difficult, and even for somebody like Wembanyama, even for Giannis, even for Jokic, it's still a challenge every night. And I don't see the need to, at least in my lifetime, I don't see the need to make any radical changes like that.
Is Chet Holmgren a rookie?
By definition, yes. By experience, no. And it's interesting that you brought him up, Dan, is because you can just see the difference from somebody who's been around for a year, who's been in the NBA quote-unquote factory for the year, who's been to every arena, who's traveled, who understands, you know, road games, who understands back-to-back games, who understands the long grind of how it is. Even if he didn't play a single game, it doesn't matter. He experienced it. So that puts him ahead of anybody who's considered a rookie. But by definition, he didn't play a single game, so he is a rookie.
Mike Breen will be on the call Friday night, Lakers at the Suns. That's the in-season tournament. Help me get excited about this, Mike, because I'm not excited about an in-season tournament.
Are you easily excited?
Whoa. You know what? When you say Wembanyama, that gets me excited.
No, when I say it correctly.
I root for positive things with the NBA. I'd like to be interested in this. I'm just trying to figure out how interested.
Okay, first off, plain and simple, the goal is to make a bunch of regular season games just feel more meaningful and bring about more competitive spirit. And I think there's no question that's going to happen. So much, though, depends on how much are the players going to buy in? Like, are these games really going to mean more to them? Because you'll be able to tell the difference if it does.
Okay.
I go back to the play-in tournament. When they first announced the play-in tournament, I'm like, what are we doing? We've got enough people in the playoffs. I love the play-in tournament because it matters. It matters down the last couple of weeks of the regular season, and it matters in those play-in games. Those play-in games, the intensity and the competitiveness are as good as any playoff game. It's wonderful. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to change, and I'm going to really come around to this because I do believe if you get to your fourth in-season tournament game and you have a chance to clinch and go to Vegas and play in that knockout round in the quarterfinals, you're going to see high intensity. I believe that. And I kind of got that feeling even from the first one I did last week with Dallas and Denver. I just think that once they have the chance to qualify for it, once they have a chance to go to Vegas, and then they're thinking, okay, $500,000 is not a bad thing to get for it. I think we are going to see an increase in competitive nature, and I think there's going to be a better interest. Plain and simple, they're going to be more meaningful than if it was just another regular season game.
How long before we have an NBA team in Vegas?
I think very soon. It might even be just by the way everything goes with this in terms of, you know, excitement and crowd, and et cetera, et cetera. I think that might seal the deal. I know it's one of the places they're looking, although, you know, places like Seattle so deserve to get an NBA team back. I just don't know, you know, how soon it's going to be. You know, we keep hearing they're talking about expansion. I think it's still several years off.
Yeah, I wonder if this is when LeBron retires and one of the gifts he gets is to be part of a Vegas NBA team. Feels like he's headed in that direction.
Yeah, but again, it's years away because he'll play another 10 years for sure.
Do you think he's officiated differently? I know that the Lakers complained to the home office, but do you think that he doesn't get the preferential treatment maybe that he thinks he still deserves?
I think anybody his size and his strength, often it's not fair. I'm not saying it's preferential treatment, but I just think, you know, when you're an official and you're seeing two bodies collide and you're seeing contact, when the contact is made against somebody like LeBron's size or a Shaq or any of those big men, it just doesn't, it looks like marginal contact. Every call is made. Is it an illegal contact or marginal contact? When you're big and strong and there's contact, it always looks marginal for crying out loud. And I think all guys that size and that strength, it's something they kind of have to deal with. Again, not intentional, not preferential. it's just by the eye what the official sees and what a lot of us see as well.
Best team you've seen so far is?
A tie between Boston and Denver. I know that's the obvious answer. But the team that I haven't seen yet in person, and I said this last year, I think OKC has a chance. One of these years, all of a sudden, they're going to win 58 games. I mean, a couple of years ago, what, they win 24 or something along those lines?
They're onto something there. They're onto something there. Yeah, they are.
They've got a terrific young coach, and they've got a superstar in Gilgeous Alexander, and they've got a deep, hungry team. I really like them. I watched them the other night. I really like them a lot.
Is Madison Square Garden a great arena or just a historic place?
No, I mean, clearly historic, but now, I mean, let's face it. I've lived in New York my whole life. I was a Knicks fan since I was a kid, so I might not be the most objective here. When it's a big event, when it's a big game, there's no atmosphere like it. There's some arenas that are louder. Loudest arena I've ever been in my life is the old Chicago Stadium. And there's some more louder ones now. But in terms of, you know, the old cliche of the electricity in the building, there's no place like that. That, for me, that's number one.
Do you remember your first game at the Garden?
First game I broadcast?
Grown up, first game you went as a fan.
Oh, yeah, I was, I'm going to say 12 years old, 11, 12 years old. And I actually had a really good seat because my Little League coach took a bunch of us there, and I just was amazed at the size. You know, again, talking about watching on TV, you couldn't believe the size of the players. And then the next time I went, I think I was in the second to last row at the top, and they looked so small.
What's the best game you ever saw there, either as a fan or broadcast?
Wow. I'd have to say, you know, for me, again, as a Knicks fan, the game where, you know, Patrick Ewing won Game 7 of the conference finals to get the Knicks back in the finals and then jumped on the scoreboard and opened his arms like he was embracing the whole crowd. That was one I'll never forget. But, you know, the Michael Jordan double nickel. You know, it was some of the great, a couple of those Linsanity games. I've never heard the building so loud. That was pretty cool too. It's impossible to pick one. Why do you ask me questions like that?
I don't. Why are you cantanker? Why are you grouchy? Just because you can't pronounce Wembanyama, it's not my fault.
I wouldn't say grouchy. I'm just, you know, it's fairly early. You know, I'm up late tonight. I'm getting ready for a flight to Phoenix, and
oh, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo.
For me to think clearly, it's just, I'm getting old. Don't you understand? You do understand. I know you understand. I know you do.
Safe travels to Phoenix, Mike. Your rough life there, and I hope you survive the Suns and the Lakers.
Thank you, Dano.
Thank you, buddy. That's Mike Breen, voice of the NBA for the mothership in ABC. Oh, he's been doing a long, long time. And he did Knicks games for a long time and with Clyde Frazier. And then all of a sudden you're also doing the mothership, and he's the voice of the NBA Finals. Yeah, Paul.
I went back what Mike Breen said about that Patrick Ewing playing in Game 7. Ewing gets a tip dunk, and the place goes out of their minds, and then he sends Reggie Miller's shot the next time down the floor, and he puts his hands up out. You know, he's so big, and he's waving to the crowd to get it up, and they're on the floor. They can't control themselves. It's really wild video.
A couple of phone calls, and we'll take a break here. Let me see. Tyler in South Dakota. Hi, Tyler. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. I love all the Krabbenberg State material that's coming out, and I think someone didn't notice that there was a feeder school in South Dakota. It's in Sturgis. The name of the high school is Brown, and their mascot is the Scoopers. So they have the Sturgis Brown Scoopers.
Thank you, Tyler. We just got a plunger, the Krabbenberg State plunger. It's like a rally plunger that somebody sent in.
Break in case of emergency.
The baseball team That's the plunger there. If you're watching on Peacock, there you see it. Krappensburg State Baseball Plunger. Luciano in New York. What debate am I settling today?
Morning, Capo. How you doing?
Good.
Marvin, peace, King. What up, son? And to the good fellas, Todd, Seton, Polly, what's it about?
Right, I'm not sure what it's about.
What's it about, brother? What's it about?
Who's who and what's right, what?
So I know what it's about.
All right, Capo, listen, before I have you settle the debate, I'm hoping that you would have Seton put up a poll question / pun question that actually leans into the barbershop debate that you're about to solve right now.
Okay.
Okay, so bear with me on this. Marvin, can you please explain to the audience and the beautiful people on chat row, when we say something like, your son is mad nice at basketball, what the word nice actually means?
Yes, son is... That guy is very good at playing basketball.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, King. So now that we have the colloquial definition out of the way, smell me on this. Considering that Capo, BKA Dan Patrick, AKA the Midwest White Chocolate, has been talking into a microphone at the highest of levels for the better half of his life, it does beg an organic question. Who is actually nicer around mics, Capo or Scottie Pippen?
Dang.
Did I go over your head, Capo?
Well, Scottie Pippen, I feel like mics were nicer to Scottie Pippen. I think Scottie Pippen's were right, nice to right. Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, that mic did him pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that one hurt.
Scottie don't seem to appreciate it very much, but.
Yeah, that's going to leave a mark. Yeah.
All right, Capo.
Thank you. Thank you, man. My best to the barbershop there. We might have to go to the barbershop one of these days. He's in Brooklyn, isn't he?
Mark? He is.
Yeah.
So Fritzy, he'll be our tour guide.
Let's go. Get a couple slices of pizza and go hang out at the barbershop.
Not a Sbarro, though.
Yeah. No, we get a real slice.
We'll get a real slice.
All right. Let me take a break.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey, we just got an email from a dad, Hector. His son just got thrown out of middle school, told to go home and change his Krappensburg State T-shirt. Sorry about that. We'll see if we can get you another T-shirt for your son for Crappensburg State.
That's rude.
Let's bring in Eli Manning, who joins us on the program. Were you recruited by Crappensburg State?
I didn't get a letter from them, unfortunately. but it would have been a strong consideration, though.
When you look back on recruiting, was there anything that stood out that was like interesting, different, bizarre?
Mike Leach was at Kentucky, and he was the one that recruited me hard. And honestly, I'd be on the phone, I wouldn't say a word for an hour. Like, he would just go, and he would just, I mean, he was no different than what he was. All his coaches, God rest his soul, but just one of the great personalities. And he could talk like no one I've ever seen. I'd be like looking at my dad, like, I got to get off the phone. I got some homework to do. Like, I got some stuff to do. I can't get a word in. But he was always interesting, kind of going on his spats about who knows what.
But how close was it that you were going to go to Kentucky?
They were throwing it around, and it was Hal Mumme and they, you know, Tim Couch was, you know, in the mix, and they were kind of having some upset. So if you wanted to go throw it around and do the spread offense and have some fun, that was a spot. So I don't know if it was, you know, it wasn't totally outside the mix, but it wasn't in the top 10.
If you were coming out now, what would intrigue you? Where would intrigue you?
I mean, I think there's a lot of schools that are intriguing. I mean, obviously, I mean, Georgia, Alabama are always in the mix in the SEC. Ole Miss, you know, Lane Kiffin, they're throwing it. They're, you know, putting up a lot of points offensively. Ohio State's always in the mix. I mean, you kind of look at the top teams consistently. I think those are always popular. But I think it's still important for players to, hey, look at who's the offensive coordinator, who's the quarterback coach, who's the head coach. What's the vibe of the team and the closeness of everybody? So I think it's really about, you know, taking those visits, being around the players, being around the coaches, and where do you feel comfortable? Where do you feel, hey, I'm going to fit in here, I'm going to be happy here? And also look at the university. I think it was important to me, and I think it's because I had an older brother, Cooper, who went to play college football and got injured and never played a down. I said, hey, I want to pick a school where if something happens and I never play one down of football, I'm going to be happy here, and I'm going to stay here, and this is where I want to be. And now I don't know if that's going into any consideration with guys now or any, you know, athlete is where they pick their school. It's NIL, and it's, you know, it's so easy to transfer. I don't know if that's a part of their decision making.
What's the biggest mistake we make or analysts make looking at a college quarterback when he goes to the NFL, that we see success in college, but what do we miss out on most, do you think?
I think it's got to be, you know, how is the guy getting the ball out, you know, on time in rhythm? And I think that's something that it's hard to see that in college. Like, hey, how many times is he, you know, not looking at the right place, going, you know, looking at the wrong read? Hey, he can scramble, he can create plays, but he's holding it, you know, for 4 seconds and got the ball, got the completion. That just doesn't happen in the NFL. I think it's, you know, looking, hey, is this guy getting the ball out on time, in rhythm, throwing the ball accurately into, you know, on time is just so important. And I think it's hard to get a sense of that in college. You can hold the ball longer. It's hard to get pressure on the quarterback unless they're blitzing. With a 4-man rush, you know, the quarterback can sit back there 3.5 seconds, and that doesn't happen in the NFL.
He's Eli Manning, 2-time Super Bowl champ. Do we want to play guess Eli Manning's middle name?
We could play that.
Okay.
Everyone go around the room. You want to go first or last?
Todd, you go first.
Dabney.
Dabney.
Okay.
All right.
Seton.
I'm gonna say Whitney.
Whitney.
Oh.
Eli Whitney.
Eli Whitney. There
okay.
you go.
I like that.
All right. I like it.
Marvin?
I'm gonna go Nathaniel.
Nathaniel. Okay.
Strong.
Paulie?
I know it. So, okay. But I can give you a hint, Dan, before you guess. His older brother Peyton, his middle name is Williams.
Okay. I was gonna go Winston. Ooh. Eli Winston Manning Jr. the 3rd. What is it?
It's Nelson. Nathaniel is close. Nelson, which is a family name named after kind of one of my uncles.
Hmm.
So, yeah, Elijah. Okay. Elijah Nelson Manning. Strong name.
You're joining us on behalf of Quaker, their pre-green tour. I'll let you give the pitch here.
Yeah, that's kicking off the first ever Quaker pre-grain tour. If you don't know what pre-graining is, it's basically you just start your pre-game with some Quaker oats, which I did every day and still do. And so basically this is a tailgate that's visiting NFL stadiums throughout this year. They've had a few, got a few more, and they're introducing their new digital Quaker playbook, which is 32 recipes representing all the NFL teams. And that tour will end at the Super Bowl. Taste of the NFL, well, they'll announce a $250,000 donation to Quaker's longtime partner, Gen Youth, which is a youth wellness nutrition organization, nonprofit. And so it's really about what Quaker's doing and understanding that the circumstances of life should not be a barrier for good nutrition. So it's great to team up with them, have a little fun, do some tailgating, and learn some different recipes for using Quaker oats.
Peyton famously had Omaha, Omaha. Did you feel like you had to be creative at all with any of your audible calls?
Well, first off, I think we got to set the record straight where I used Omaha way before Peyton ever used it.
Wow.
He's stolen.
Wow,
he's
that's breaking stolen. News.
It is breaking news.
So that's intellectual property that he stole from you.
Yes, exactly. It was in our playbook. It was a word. He used it the exact same way. But I have to be a little honest. Not me personally, but my rookie season, John Huffnagel is our offensive coordinator. He come from New England, and he brought it from New England. So I stole it technically from Tom Brady. We used it for a long time. And then 2015-ish, I think that's the year. They must have really turned up the microphones on the quarterback. They put the speaker, they put the recording on our jersey so you could hear everything the quarterback was saying. And Peyton played a playoff game, and he must have sent Omaha 85 times in the game. And it just, everybody's like, what is going on? What is the big deal about Omaha? He's getting free steaks out of this. He's got a key to the city. He's got a production company named after it. And like, I get nothing. He didn't even send me a steak. I get nothing from him. No credit whatsoever.
When do you know that you've pressed the button maybe too strongly with Peyton? Like, you'll jab, but when do you know that you cross the line?
When he doesn't respond, he just kind of he kind of just goes quiet and just kind of shakes his head a little bit. Like, hey, that's off limits. Don't keep going. Don't harp on that. Don't expand on that. Like, you're in dangerous territory. retreat a little bit. Retreat. So when he does not, respond to it. That's when
the forehead gets red, I think. When
that's kind of all, it's kind of always the case.
That's a big forehead.
It is. It is. When the vein starts coming in the neck and like on the side of the forehead right there, it's like, looks. That's more clock management. It's situations on the opposing team or one of the teams. That's when the vein clock management is his number one pet peeve. If I were to ever say I don't think Peyton had good clock management as a quarterback, I think he would burst into flames.
Great to talk to you. Good luck with a Quaker pre-grain tour. He's Eli Nelson Manning III.
Elijah Nelson.
Elijah Nelson Manning Jr. III. Good to talk to you, Eli. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. Eli Manning there. Yeah. Because they came in and did a commercial at SportsCenter, and Eli was kind of getting picked on by Peyton. And then their dad was there as well. And I kept thinking, at what point does Eli smack him back? Because Peyton was doing licking his finger and putting it in Eli's ear and then kicking him in the rear end. And I thought, Eli, you should be able to smack him. You should get one smack. Yes, Paulie.
Don't you guys think, though, if you go back to when the Manning cast started, what, I guess, 2 years ago, two years ago? Eli's the big winner because we saw Peyton Manning's personality all throughout his career.
Sure.
He did more interviews. He was on more Tonight Show type things. Eli was more the New York shows, and he was very reserved, I think because he played in New York. He was a little extra reserved, but he's been the breakout guy.
I agree.
He's so sneaky funny.
Yes, he is. And usually he'll throw in a line about Peyton eating. When they had Schwarzenegger and his donkey was on, and then Eli goes, he eats like you do, Peyton. It's just like there's always a one-liner there. He can get away with it. Good TV, good content.
It's like only brothers know that sort of level of dig.
Yes.
You know, like family members kind of know exactly where to hit.
But you do know that when you get to a certain point, like there's a point where you go, I can't cross that line. But if I do, then it's go time with your brothers. At least it was for me. And then it was always, you'd get punched, and then you'd try to retaliate, and then they would yell to mom. And then you always got busted. Yes, Todd?
I used to yell, ow, from the other room. Before, my brother couldn't even be in the room. He didn't even touch me. But just to get him in trouble, I'd pretend that he's on top of me and beating me up.
You are a narc, aren't you?
What a snitch.
He's totally in another room playing the video game. I'm like, ow, get off me.
Yes, Marvin.
And there's nothing worse. I hate the ow kid.
You're breaking my arm.
Like, not just the, oh, I'm going to get you back. Or when you hit, I'd have siblings. So cousins you hit and they start crying. No, you can hit me back. You can hit me back. Go ahead, real fast. It's one of those. Like, but the ow kid, Fritzy looks like one of those kids I'd hate.
All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. By the way, the theme tomorrow for music is sexy.
What? Yeah, it could be sexy songs or songs with the word sexy in it, like Rod Stewart, do you think I'm sexy?
This is going to be awkward.
I'm going to throw a challenge on this one.
Oh.
Remember when we had Brian McKnight in and he sang like this, the most beautiful song, right? Because he's got a gorgeous voice and he's got a piano set up and he's all about, you know, how much he loves this person and blah, blah, blah. And the five of us sat around looking at each other for 4 minutes and 20 seconds being like, whoa, what is happening right now?
Okay, but that's different. He played the entire song. We're just going to play a snippet.
Yeah,
of a song.
But there's going to be a snippet of a song tomorrow, and all of a sudden, Chris Isaac, and I want to fall in love. We're going to be sitting here looking at each other and being like, all right, sexy song. So, Harbaugh suspension. Yeah. That's good. I don't know.
I think we can do it.
Okay.
I think we can do it.
Okay.
So, yeah, Mark.
Maybe is it just songs with the word sexy in it?
With you.
Not songs that make you feel sexy.
Yeah. I don't think it has to have sexy in the title. It can.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Either or.
Yeah, either or.
Like a song, you know what? Turn the lights off.
Yeah.
It's business time.
Yeah. Todd's going to do Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy.
Mm. I'm going to challenge myself to come up with something a little more.
No, you're not. I'm bringing sexy back.
Yeah.
Fritzy sent in four songs already.
Already?
I'm so excited about this.
Four. He's so relaxed, so excited.
Wanna fall in love with you.
Filling up Marvin's inbox with lots of options.
Did I tell you I sat next to Chris Isaac on a plane?
But he was not nice to you.
He was not.
No?
Well, was he not nice or was he not interested in talking to you?
Probably both. but he sat down. He was the last person to get on. He sat down and I saw him, and you know, very handsome guy, and I go, hey, I really love your work. And he goes, oh, good. And then he fell asleep.
And that was a little cold.
And that was it.
Is he not a sports guy?
I don't know.
Because if you recognize you, you're going to chat it out and be polite, celebrity polite.
Well, I had a similar run into Paul Giamatti where I'm like, hey, Paul. And he's like, hey. And I go, hey, well, I enjoy your work. And he goes, thank you. That was it.
I heard an interview with Paul Giamatti, and just because his dad was the commissioner of baseball, he said he was not a sports fan growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Proven,
I guess. They either say, hey, like Robin Thicke, when he was going through that controversy with Blurred Lines or Pharrell, and he was sitting in front of me, and then he got up, and then he said, I got to go out and face this, Dan, and because there was going to be press out there that wanted to interview him, and then he sort of just joked, and he said, do you want to walk out with me? I go, no, no, you're on your own. But he at least acknowledged me. But yes, Todd.
What's so hard to just say, thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words. And then you can fall asleep or look the other way. Just takes 1 second to be nice and acknowledge someone that's excited to meet you. I don't get it.
Minimum kindness. That's all I ask for.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Or, you know, I'm glad you enjoy my work. That's all. Just acknowledge.
Well, it's bad when my daughters will go, hey, don't you know Bradley Cooper? And I'll go, yeah. Well, there he is. Like, well, you know, the guy, Chris Maloney from Law and Order?
Yeah, Law and Order. Detective Stabler.
Yeah, my daughter's like, she loves the show. She goes, damn, this guy from, you know, Law and Order. I go, oh, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, all right. Do you know him? Oh, I've had him on the show before. Do you think you could go over and say hello to him? I go, sure. And I go up there and say hello to him. And man, he shut me down.
Do you think some celebrities are uncomfortable with where you approach them? Like, he was sitting
at dinner. He was done eating.
He was still at the table?
Yeah. Mm. He was done eating.
Don't you wait for the stand-up?
Well, I don't know. They were having a conversation. I think his wife and agent or somebody was there. But, I mean, I had things to do, Paul. I got my daughters here, and then all of a sudden, it's...
I bet Bradley Cooper would have been cool to you. He's a big sports fan.
Yeah, but he was with his daughter, and she's like five, and I thought, no, you know, let him have a dad moment. I don't want to go up there and say, hi, Bradley.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.